banking is like rails. Like it is very important for the world to function as it is. And to function as it is, you need banking, or you need finance. People do not understand how important payments and derivatives. Forget payments. People, I think payments and people understand how important payments are, but people don't understand how important derivatives are, for even your bread to reach your home at the same price at the same time. It is very important.
Okay, well, I mean, welcome to a new episode of Crypto Slam Clubhouse. We have Hamza Khan of Polygon Labs, and pleasure to have him here this morning. Polygon's been making some moves recently. I mean, with the Trump NFTs coming out and doing so well on there, and even before that, we had Starbucks and Reddit and all kinds of cool stuff. And you're notoriously known for having one of the best BD teams in the space. I don't know if that's your doing, Hamza, or, you know, but definitely thanks for coming on today.
No, no, for sure. Thank you for having me. And notoriously known, I that is the first time I heard that adjective used. No, but for sure, it's good to be known notoriously for the good things. If known for the bad things, then it's a problem. But no, for sure. Like I just for some intro from my side, I had joined Matic a little more than 2 years ago. So it's been one hell of a ride, one crazy ride, because I had joined, like there were 20 people back then, and now we are like 500, 400 people or something like that. So it's been one crazy ride, of course. And yeah, like we have grown across all verticals, especially on the business side, because like this whole bull market, like it was all like Polygon focused on BD, especially DeFi initially, then, you know, a lot of like gaming NFTs, then Web2, and now back with DeFi, because this market is totally focused on that. So that's our recap. We definitely grown. We'll grow more, especially with this day. We'll be going out with in March, March 3rd week. We'll be launching. I think the date is now live. So yeah, excited for that.
Hey Hamza, I got a question for you regarding like the recent SEC stuff about staking. How does that affect DeFi, in your opinion?
I think I don't want to comment too much on that, because I personally haven't looked too much, and I'm not allowed to speak a lot on those topics. But like, I definitely think that it's definitely a mixed thing for everything, but like it'll make DeFi stronger, because some of the comments were important around the commission's topics around self custody and decentralized staking projects. So I don't think it's that of an issue, because people understand that Ethereum is such a big network, and has become a productive asset, especially like it's kind of people are comparing it to an internet bond. So I don't think it's too much of an issue. Definitely DeFi will be in certain scrutiny for some time, but it is what it is. And like all the builders are not going anywhere. Everyone is still here. And I was speaking with someone yesterday, who was a very, very big TradFi FX trader, like very big, had a big book and like all of that. So he was telling me, I spoke with him for like 15 minutes, and he made me even more bullish on DeFi, because he was explaining me how inefficient the processes are, even back in Forex and all of that. So I was like, okay, if some people like them are you know, so actively involved in this, like no one is going anywhere.
Hamza, you mentioned that you joined Matic like 2 years ago, roughly 2 years ago. And that's
more
around
than 2 years ago, yeah.
More than 2 years. Okay. That was, I mean, 2 years ago is when I got into the NFT space, and Matic at that time, and I actually forgot you guys used to be called Matic and now Polygon. So the rebranding was, it worked well. It was one of my, if not my first introduction to like layer twos and understanding, you know, what those even meant, and that there were these, you know, these side chains on Ethereum. So I learned a lot through Matic. I remember you used to join like early morning spaces that at that time Matic used to do. I don't know if y'all still do that, by the way, but I always wonder now if you were on those speaking and if I was listening to you, you know, all the way back then. Anyway, just kind of reminiscing because I've been watching you all for so long now. But continuing on with DeFi, I didn't understand what DeFi was at all when I started out. And I learned about a lot of these more, the financial side of crypto through getting into NFTs. So I have a couple questions probably I'll ask throughout this interview. What is DeFi though? I wanted to know if you could explain that to anybody else out there that maybe is doesn't have the courage to ask what it is and doesn't know, but what is DeFi and how important it is it to this entire ecosystem?
I think DeFi, of course I'm biased, but I don't care if I'm biased or not, honestly. I think DeFi is not just a vertical. I think DeFi is like a horizontal, and forget DeFi, forget everything. In the world where we live in, like banking is like rails. Like it is very important for the world to function as it is. And to function as it is, you need banking or you need finance. You need people do not understand how important payments and derivatives, forget payments. People understand how important payments are, but people don't understand how important derivatives are. For even your bread to reach your home at the same price at the same time. It is very important for a wheat farmer or a wheat producing company or whatever to be able to hedge their prices and to be able to make profit and to run, keep their employees on pay and all those things. Like people don't appreciate that. It's not as sexy. It's not as outgoing as NFTs or gaming or whatever, but like finance is the most important thing in the world, and trading is the most important thing in the world. Like that's how a barter system and all those things have been there since like ever. Now, why DeFi is so interesting and so important is because it removes the middleman. It removes trust in the third party, and it removes the whole concept of Bitcoin. If you read the white paper, like I try to read that white paper twice every year, because it just like keeps me grounded and like and just like realize like why are we in this industry, is the fact that is to remove the middleman, is to have transparency, is to have censorship resistance, and all these things are possible with DeFi. Like Uniswap, for example, like Uniswap protocol is a smart contract, set of smart contracts that you can swap any asset into another asset without a intermediary, without custody, without anything, like without censorship resistance, with censorship resistance. That is very important. And I think DeFi over time, you know, it will become a human right as email has become and internet has become as important to culture, to commerce, to finance, to everything in the world.
Huda, are you?
But it'll take time, but.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what you said there. And, you know, let's look at some of the projects that are on Polygon right now. Huda, you're familiar with too, and I'm not sure if you know how deep Polygon is into some of the ecosystems that you're already part of. Like, did you know CyberKongs was on there?
CyberKongs. Oh, I'm sorry. You're asking him. Yeah.
No, I'm asking both of you guys. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I definitely knew. Yeah.
Yeah. What part of CyberKongs is on there, Huda?
They. Well, go ahead. But I'll just mention they didn't start on they didn't start on Polygon. They actually started on ETH, and they were one of the early projects that saw the benefit of the cheap transactions, and they saw the scalability. And of course, now you fast forward to today, and so many projects see it, where now it's, you mentioned earlier, it's almost known as the gaming blockchain, and it's the right ecosystem to support that kind of thing. They saw it early. But yeah, man, they've got their play and collect game that runs on there, which is just this fun little simple adventure. It's almost like a point and click game. Like, dabbles very, very lightly, maybe in DeFi. I don't know if I even want to call it that, but, you know, very lightly in there. And just super fun, super simple. And I've wrapped my head around some more interesting concepts because of something like that. And I wonder if you're going to mention Avogadro next. Because
yes, I was.
Yeah, that was another one that really, really helped me understand some like DeFi concepts and terms, and understand like just swapping in and out of different tokens, like cryptos. To purchase different NFTs, like different just assets in a game world. And I don't know if I would have understood that without a video game being my way to onboard onto that, you know, that technology. So I think NFTs have a very important part in the, you know, the DeFi conversation. We've considered that video games will be like, will lead to mass adoption for NFTs in general. And I think they're going to lead to more mass adoption for DeFi in general, but that's just kind of my simple take.
No, I agree. I agree. I've seen Avogadro is pretty big on Polygon. They use a mix of ERC-20 and 721s in a thing called, they created something called diamond contracts. Those are pretty cool and pretty important Avogadro is, it is a pretty good culture on Polygon, and they have, they use A tokens, which are Aave tokens, so that people can stake with them and get yield on their assets behind, which is I think a very important primitive, because if you can get yield, you can make your assets productive, like NFT is productive, and that is something I think Avogadro guys, if not the first, were like one of the first to use that. So I think that's pretty cool, and it was on Polygon.
Yeah, they're OGs at this point. They've been around for a while, but like
people have been calling them the crypto punks of Polygon.
Oh,
I like that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
you can see on Twitter, people have been talking about that. Yeah.
Speaking of crypto punks, you have one as your profile picture, right, Hamza?
Yes. Oh, wow. I bought it last year. Yes.
Oh, wow. Very good. Yeah, that's epic. That's probably the Grail collection that I think Huda would want to get into for sure.
Oh, one day, man, absolutely. I had a V1 punk at one point, and we've talked about this before. I like those, you know, historic tokens, so I love the V1 punks, and I will get one again. But the infamous crypto punks, I have to get one day. So nice job grabbing that, man.
Yeah, thank you. Everything was crashing. I was like, "Yeah, let's buy one."
Yeah, smart.
What particular about the one that you got that you like? Is it, does it?
It looks like me.
Yeah, cool. I love that. I love how we can, you know, those PFPs can do that. So,
dude, CryptoPunks in particular appeal to like everybody, because when I did have that V1 punk, it was my only PFP that I like was drawn to that actually felt like me. There's something about him, man. I wish I could put my finger on exactly what it is, but punks have that effect like no other.
Yes.
Do you have a nickname for that punk? I saw something on your Twitter feed where you were asking the community for whether it should be Polygon or Polygon with like P-A-U-L-Y. Like, is that his name, Polly? Polygon?
No. That's a different thing that project is building on Polygon for that. No, that's okay. Not that. No, that was a funny name though. Not gonna lie.
That is pretty funny. So I also have a question regarding the Azuro project.
Ah, yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that and what prediction markets are?
Yeah, for sure. Azuro recently launched on Polygon from Gnosis chain because they found more liquidity over here. more users, more just like more liquidity, more users. I think that's the most important thing. More better distribution and all of that. So that was very important. And Azuro, I think I actually placed a few bets last. Not me. I think someone on our team placed some bets on for the Premier League matches last week. And I think they made some money on that. But I think they have a very interesting back-end infrastructure where anyone can build on top of them, which I think is very interesting because if you are, they're an infrastructure where everyone can build on top of it, which I think is very cool. And a lot of projects have been building and they have like over, I think they have like over 500 markets, maybe not 500, but I think 100, 200 markets on that, like across all the sports, across a bunch of them. And Bookmaker is the UI on top of that. I think it's pretty cool. And I'm pretty sure, pretty bullish on this thing because like that's the market. That's one vertical. I think Polygon is the owner of that vertical because SportX is on Polygon. They have their own chain on SX Network. Which is their own chains. They get a lot of like NBA volume over there. Then Polymarket, which is the biggest one, they have a lot of volume. Then what else? There was one more I forgot. Azuro, of course. The couple of them that have a decent amount of volume, and I don't think there is any other chain that has this one. So pretty cool about that.
Are you familiar with prediction markets at all?
No, this is where it feels like I'm in a room with grownups and I'm not one of them because I don't understand at all.
Yeah, you know, this has been around for a while. It would almost be like something not directly related to sports alone, but it would be like, do you predict that Brady would score a touchdown in the first 6 minutes? And then somebody could take the other side of that trade, right? But it could go for pretty much anything. It could be who's going to win the Oscar this year for the best movie, right? Like, and there would be other people taking the other side of that trade. So what I'm thinking Hamza is saying, like, there's almost 100 markets there already available on Polygon. So doing some research before this interview, I definitely think I'm interested to looking into that and seeing, you know, if that could work for me.
So that's really, really cool. Did that type of market exist before blockchain, or not invented, but did that come about because blockchain tech made it so easy?
That's a good question. I know previously of Web2 implementations, and I believe that they were taken offline due to several reasons. Mm-hmm. And that was going back almost 10 years ago. So maybe DeFi and on Polygon or blockchain is enabling a better sort of use case for that, with the added benefit of having transactions on chain and auditable and all that thing. So definitely maybe better for regulations as well. So
Okay, that question though, like just in general, I've been applying that to like everything I see, everything new that I come across on any blockchain, you know, in this you know Web3 space. I've been thinking about that. Could this exist without blockchain? And that helps me find, you know, maybe the most innovative projects. I used to ask that back when I got into the generative art on FX Hash, and I tried to understand, to see artwork like this, is blockchain required? And oftentimes the answer was no, and that's totally fine if the blockchain is there just as that ledger preserving, you know, your transaction and maybe the art itself. But yeah, I'm always looking now for something that could never exist before without blockchain. And there are definitely examples out there. But I just put that out there because I think it's a cool way to frame everything we look at. And I think people should consider that more often. And I think they'll start seeing how much innovation is actually happening here because of this tech. So just a general statement about that, though.
Hamza, what is a CLOB?
A central limit order book?
Yeah, what is that?
On-chain, you see we have like Uniswap and like Uniswap balancer curve or whatever. And then we... But on other exchanges, like centralized finance, you have limit order books where you place an order, there is a limit on the order. Like, so for example, like Binance, where you so there are two, forget that. So like there are two types of exchanges mainly. This one is an automated market maker, which is like Uniswap, Balancer, whatever, Bancor. And then there was always the CLOB model, which was always on like Binance and CEXs, have always like for 100 years. So there's a maker, there is a taker, and that's how price discovery happens. But on blockchains, you could democratize the whole liquidity process, and you can have it on AMMs, which is Uniswap or whatever. So, but CLOB is a more TradFi, where all these market makers can have historically been making markets. So that is an important piece of DeFi infrastructure.
And are there any projects using Polygon for that right now?
Yeah. There are four, I think, now. One is Polymarket is also moving a lot of their because they have been working with some big market makers to make some of their markets on some of these big markets where people can trade with more size. So they have been working. So that's why they have also introduced a CLOB model instead of an AMM model. And the other side, you have like IDEX, there is one new project called Clobber, which is building their fully on-chain order book. They have designed a new data structure method where you compress the data and put it on chain. It's not exactly compress. I'm like saying the wrong terms, but yeah, they have optimized it for on chain for EVM especially. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Interesting.
All right, I've got a project to ask about. As long as we're firing off different, you know, terms. By the way, I have to see where you're getting all these cool terms from. I haven't heard of any of them before this, and it's fascinating. Do you know about Lens? And I ask it because I keep seeing Lens popping up on it, our leaderboard, and I'm sure on all the Polygon leaderboards, but it's had a presence there for weeks at this point, I think, and I have no idea what it is, and I need to know.
Yeah, for sure. Lens is a decentralized social network infrastructure where you can build the users of the network, like, so for example, if you have this Facebook and like all of these infrastructure where Instagram and all of that where you do not have a custody of your you don't own any assets, right? You don't own your posts. You don't own anything. And the network can kick you out if you like for years if you have created an audience and for some mistake you piss off the community guidelines and you're like kicked off and your whole reputation, your whole content is gone down the drain. But with Lens and more decentralized social infrastructure, you can have them on chain and you can you own your assets, you can own your royalties, you can own all of that. So I think that they are doing some great stuff around more infrastructure tooling around us. I think that is one, and it is all on Polygon, so I'm pretty excited about that.
That's cool. It's funny, I just assume if it's a term or like a project name that I don't know and it seems complicated, I just assume it's DeFi and Lens has nothing to do with DeFi. It doesn't sound like totally like a social media site.
No, not exactly. I mean, everything uses DeFi because when users create content, their content generates yield from Aave on the back end. So their royalties are paid out from Aave on the back end. So I think that way is pretty cool.
Yeah, very cool. Interesting. I need to dive into that.
Yeah, from what I know about Lens, Huda, it's like a open source backend for a social media network.
Yes.
Like the metadata behind everything, how a post is represented, how a comment is represented. So they've invented that. But I understand that, like Hamza said, now that you can produce content with Lens, and it's open source infrastructure, you can go into Aave, use the DeFi concept. Maybe a content creator could earn money, right, for their post, something like that.
Oh, that's gotta be right up your alley. Like, Johan, you were the one who's, you know, you were really bullish on like decentralized news and, you know, posting in general like that. Yeah. So you've looked into Lens a bit, I'm guessing.
So there's a protocol called Hive and Steemit that back in the day, you basically could upvote somebody's post and the original poster could get some funds out of that. Right. And this was a more closed sort of closed source type of thing. But what we're talking about here is something open source. Lens could probably have multiple different front ends, but using the DeFi on the back end, like Aave or whatever it is. Right. So as long as there's total value locked on Polygon somewhere, I think there's capital that could be distributed in that way. And speaking of total value locked, like one thing our teams are working on, which is Polygon and CryptoSlam, is looking to show some of the volumes that you guys have been locked into DeFi. And we're excited to work with you guys on that. We do have a unannounced partnership, but I'm kind of breaking it here, but I think it's something that we're working on in terms of getting data showed properly on the website, getting our data quality up on the Polygon side, and showing the collections and showing the strength of the chains and really all the chains that are in our ecosystem. So happy to say that and work with you guys on it. Huda's been actually on the front lines of that, making sure that some of the volumes are shown correctly.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's been fun too. Like it's another one, like I said earlier, like I've known of Polygon for so long and I've been in so many projects that are on the chain, but man, there's always so much going on in the space. You can't always dedicate the time to like learning their ecosystem inside and out. And then so selfishly, this gives me that opportunity to do that deep dive and learn. And I'm seeing hundreds, thousands of projects every day now on the chain that I may have known a little bit about, but now I'm having to get a little more intimate knowledge about it. And it's been a treat to do that.
Yeah. How's that? Like when we bridge Ethereum over to Polygon, I go into OpenSea, I basically like say, hey, this is some ETH I want bridged over to Polygon. And then it goes off and it does that. You know, if I use the Polygon native bridge, it takes 45 minutes. If I do something quicker, which there's several options there you've listed on, that Polygon has listed on its website, it could take 10, 15 minutes. What's happening in the background there? Could you explain like what exactly is happening when ETH is going from ETH to Polygon?
Yeah, when you bridge any token from Ethereum to Polygon chain, you can use any other chain. Bridge. But the interesting thing is that the Polygon bridge, the Polygon POS bridge, is the only decentralized bridge out there. Is the most decentralized. I mean, there are decentralized, but the most decentralized bridge is Polygon because of the fact that there are 100 validators securing it. But when you bridge anything, the bridge is secured by those 100 validators, and you need a consensus amongst those validators once you move those bridge, because it is the Polygon POS bridge. If you use any third party bridge, there is always centralization. There is either one sequencer, there is one validator, there are five relayers or three or four or 10 max. And to get a consensus amongst all of them is way easier than getting on a decentralized. I don't think we run any more. We run like two or I think don't even run any of them on any of the validators now. So getting a consensus among different validators, and that's the whole point of decentralization, right? Like, so you have to, what do I say? You have to, there is some trade-off between centralization and UX. Decentralization and UX. So we are giving up UX here, but for decentralization and security and those things. So yeah, it's a matter of priorities for that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. So if I use the Polygon POS bridge, I'm sure to get my funds 199 whatever percent of the time, but it'll take a little longer.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, like, till now, touch wood, nothing has happened. I think Polygon bridge by far is the most used bridge for a long time because of the just the traction here and there. And I remember at one time it was the fourth most used Ethereum app. Ethereum app, fourth or fifth, I think like that. So you know, the traction is crazy. Yeah, like, I mean, till now everything has been going fine.
Cool. Huda, do you have any questions for Hamza? I have one.
Yeah, a couple.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, a couple. I'll fire them off. But also, I'm glad you asked that question because I've wondered that for a while. I know a lot of my friends have wondered, like, why there's just a bit of time sometimes when moving stuff. I've noticed it going from Polygon to ETH, maybe not the other way around, and I could be wrong, but that was where I noticed it. And once people realize it's the trade-off for having it's like the extra protection or that decentralization, it's worth that trade-off, I think. So it's just good to know.
It's not so hard. My question, not so good when you're FOMOing into something and you really want your funds over there, though.
Well, you shouldn't be doing that anyways, right? We shouldn't be FOMOing into stuff. So it's okay. It's a good checks for us. I'm curious what projects you might recommend to people, or at least that people look at to learn more about the ecosystem. So it could be DeFi, it could be just your tried and true like PFP project, but what is something a beginner could look at in the Polygon ecosystem that they would probably learn a lot from? And then I'd have the same question about what's something that is actually cutting edge even for experts that maybe they should be looking at.
I mean, if you're a DeFi person, if you hold any of the assets, so to say, then you should definitely try using the big protocols and Polygon. Start by using the big protocols and Polygon. Aave, Balancer, Quickswap, Lido, Dopex recently launched, which is a big options protocol on from Arbitrum to Polygon. So they have been doing very well. I think they're doing some rewards mining also. So again, these are not financial advice. These are not any recommendations or endorsements or anything. These are some of the protocols that come at the top of my head. And then definitely there are other, if you use DeFi, then you can use Gains for margin trading and these kind of things. They're pretty big, recently got listed on Binance and all of that. So that is something cool. If you are onboarding into DeFi, I would suggest, you can try Giddy, which is a non-custodial wallet. On Polygon, which is they exclusively support Polygon, and I think they're very cool because the way they handle gas. So basically, you don't need to pay gas. They handle the gas, and with their account abstraction model, I think that is very cool. And I like their team. They're ex fintech people with a bunch of like over 10 years of fintech experience. I think that is cool. Then of course you said Lens and like, of course, OpenSea and Magic Eden and all these like NFT projects. I've got you definitely.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you.
Hamza, why is coffee better than tea? And what's wrong with Earl Grey? Like, come on, you know.
I'm a coffee person. I like tea, but I like the Indian tea, which is chai. The milk one. I'm a big sucker for that. I make my chai every day, but I make my coffee more than once every day. So I just am more a coffee Americano red eye person.
Oh, okay. I think that's the bitterness. You must have a taste for bitter, because I sometimes feel like you need it coffee sometimes, right? So
yeah, I mean it's bitter, but
it's maybe the extra caffeine content as well.
Yeah, that's definitely
cool. Well, I just wanted to wrap this up with, like, you're sort of, as being part of the management team over there on Polygon, what is the vision for Polygon over the next 5 years? Like, where would you guys like to see Polygon, and type of goals and metrics you guys have in mind? Could you share?
No, for sure. I think for us, it's very simple that I think in the next 6 months, the goal is with is the goal is to, you know, with ZK to like kind of win the whole ZK environment, because the mainnet is coming next month, and then, you know, it will get stable over the next few months. And there's a lot of like DeFi interest from DeFi protocols to start building over there and start, you know, trying a lot of things over there. So I'm pretty excited. I'm really, really excited about that, for sure. And then, you know, our goal is to have more of these native communities, whether it is DeFi, whether it is, you know, PFPs and all these kind of things, where because we're in a bear market and like Web2 and all these things won't, and gaming also is kind of like becoming tricky in this environment, and like DeFi degens are the ones that drive the market, and more native stuff. So I'm pretty excited about that, and that will be main focus. And if you ask us from a metric standpoint, I mean, from the KPI or North Star standpoint, I mean, we are already top two or top three. If you leave Ethereum, we are top two or top three in all of the verticals, and certainly top two in most of the verticals, whether DeFi, PFPs, or whatever. So I think that is the path we want to keep continuing. We want to maintain that dominance, and yeah, that's pretty much. I think that's a challenging task if you ask me, but okay, we'll take it.
Yes, and onboarding, I guess, like the masses, I guess, is the one thing.
For sure.
Polygon is kind of synonymous with that in recent months. So, Hamza, thanks for coming on and educating our listeners and ourselves, actually. It was a pleasure, and I hope to work with you guys more in the future, and we are working more in the future. So with that said, we will link your Twitter on this interview, and we'll put it out there.
Sure. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. And yeah, we're looking forward for more Crypto Slam and Polygon integrations.
Awesome. Thanks, Hamza.
Absolutely. Thanks, Hamza.
Thank you, guys.